Welcome to today's podcast. This is the 11th in the series titled, A Firm Foundation. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from the Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Here is Pastor Jim with this week's message, Practical Teachings of Jesus.
Since October, we've keyed in on this passage, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Jesus says he is finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. He makes this assessment. He says, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, you ought to know it by heart by now, is like what? Like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And Jesus prophetically really says, storms came. You cannot insulate yourself from storms in life. The varieties of storms, crisis that you and I will weather. It's almost unlimited, the options or possibilities. We keyed in on five different life storms that are likely to have occurred or to occur in each of our lives over time. Jesus says that there's a storm insurance, so to speak. You can insulate yourself from the storms. You're going to have to pass through them, but there's a good way to weather them. He said, found your life on my truth. Base your life on what I say. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, and that's what I'd like to suggest we think about for a few minutes this morning, the practical teachings of Jesus Christ. I don't know if there's a more practical person out there that has more to say about the practical aspects of living life. Jesus' instructions. He told his disciples, the Spirit gives life. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they're life. Living principles. Jesus wants to teach you to live life if you'll let him. In a practical sense. You just go back to the Sermon on the Mount. All the how-tos that Jesus gives us. These principles. Practical principles. Truths that apply to our life and living. Let me give you just a sampling there from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 9. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The practical application is make peace. Do your best to be at peace. In fact, Paul reiterates that in the book of Romans. As far as it depends on you, he says, live at peace with everyone. Now, you and I both know that's not always possible. But he says, Paul says, in application, I think, to this beatitude, peacemakers, as far as it depends on you, do your best to be in good standing with others. Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, you're the light of the world. City on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men. There's the exhortation. There's your application. Shine forth. And he cues us using that metaphor, what he means, so that they might see your what? Your good works. The good that you're doing in life. And ultimately glorify your Father. Give God his due glory. Shine forth. Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, you've heard it say, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. I tell you the opposite. Love your enemies and do good to those who, boy, the NIV says persecute you. I kind of like the old English, spitefully use you. How is that possible? That is not humanly possible. It's not the natural response, it's the supernatural response that Jesus is offering us to pray for those who spitefully use you is the loving thing to do when you've been persecuted, when you've been wronged, when you've been betrayed. That's a practical application given by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 6, verse 20, store up treasures in heaven. Well, we've got plenty of treasures on earth, as Tim alluded to here just a minute ago in our Tijuana testimonies. How do you store treasures in heaven? Let me tell you, there's only one thing you can take to heaven with you. Only one thing. It's other people. All of life's stuff will stay behind. But it's possible for you, through the work of God in and through you, to influence others to the degree that they'll join you in heaven. That's the greatest treasure of all, isn't it? In fact, many of you, even this year, have lost treasured loved ones, and they await you in heaven. You have a little better sense of what Jesus was talking about, storing up treasures in heaven. I've got a lot of friends and family that I treasure that are there today. Matthew 6:20. Matthew 6:33, familiar song that we sing. Seek ye, finish the verse. First, fourth, 15th. Seek first, Jesus says. You want a practical application of your faith and living life? First things first. Jesus says God is first. First, the kingdom, the rule of God in your life, and his righteousness, the right way of living. And the neat thing with Jesus' exhortation in Matthew 6 there is he promises, and you know what? Everything else will be added to you as well. Now, you got to go back and read Matthew 6, and you're going to find the context there in that paragraph or previous paragraph is worry. It's concern, and people are eaten up with anxiety and fear, many times for good reason. This is an anxious and fearful world, isn't it? There's no shortage of things to worry about. And practically speaking, Jesus says, I'll tell you what, let me give you a cue on how to overcome anxiety, angst, worry. Trust God. Put God first and let God handle the details of your life. Matthew 7:1, do not judge and you will not be judged. The old English, judge not. Now, there is no place in the Bible where we're told not to use good judgment. There's a difference here. The judgment technically is in reference to condemnation, to condemning people. Not necessarily judging them in terms of what they do or don't do, right or wrong. And Jesus says, with the same measure that you use, your attitude towards others will be measured back to you. Matthew 7:1. Ask and it shall be given unto you. It's another practical application from the Sermon on the Mount. Pray. Pray. In fact, the Apostle Paul again picks up on that principle in Philippians. Don't worry about anything, he says. Pray about everything. That's an outstanding application for you and I on our in our lives on a daily basis. Stop worrying about everything and pray about it. We turn the equation around, don't we? We worry about everything and we pray about nothing. And the Bible says just the opposite. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Just pray about it. And involve God in the process. Matthew 7:12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We call that the golden rule, don't we? The golden rule. It's a universal that's been borrowed from Jesus' words for centuries, the golden rule. It's an excellent way of living life, to treat others as you would like them to treat you. It's such practical insights and input from Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. That's the way the scriptures are. There's a plethora of, it's unending, the applications, the practical teachings of the Lord. And so it's up to you and I now to practice our faith, to put into practice, as Jesus tells us, his teaching. James says it like this, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Next line, do what it says. The older version, be doers of the word and not merely hearers of the word. Do what it says. Apply it to your life. How many of you have heard the ditty? I'm sure you have. Practice makes perfect. How many of you believe that maxim? Practice makes perfect. Boy, I'm looking for Bill Neasley here. Excellent golfer. Been practicing golf for, I'm going to say 70 years. How many of you think Bill's putting is perfect? Think he ever misses a putt? You'd have to ask Bill. Somebody plays a piano. Mary Butters is an excellent pianist. If you've listened to her play, she's in her 80s. She's been playing since she was 15 in church. I have noticed she missed a note or two last time she played. Did you catch that? She's been practicing for years. She's not perfect yet. Boy, Jack, shooting sports, I understand you're a good shot. Do you hit the target every time? Bullseye? Be honest now. All right. Drew, you playing basketball this year? You been practicing? You sink every shot? I thought practice made perfect. What's going on here? I don't think that's humanly possible or true. What practice does make is it makes permanent. It makes permanent. It solidifies specific actions, creates habit patterns. And for us as Christians, it forms our character through concentrated effort and repetition. That's what practice does. That's why Jesus says, practice your faith. Take to heart my teachings. Put them to work in your life. You may not become perfect, but you're going to cement into your being, yourself, practical aspects of Christianity, of living life. Practicing your faith, it means intentionally applying God's truth to your daily life, day in and day out, over a lifetime. It means that we obey God's commandments even when we don't feel like it, even when it's hard. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. That's exactly the point of Christianity. It's not a spectator sport. There are no bleachers in the Christian life for you to sit down in. How many of you prefer to be a spectator at this stage of life as opposed to a participant? It's a lot easier, isn't it, to go and yell and scream at the refs than it is to get down there on the floor. Isn't that right? And show them a thing or two, or the players. God wants you and I to play the game. He wants you on center court. He doesn't need more people sitting in the stands. You and I are to practice our faith on a regular daily basis, as opposed to being just simply spectators. Easy to do, isn't it? But Christianity is not a spectator sport. You and I are called upon to live out the truth as God has revealed it in His Word. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. I suggested that through repetition, intention, concentrated effort, we form habits. What is a chore or a task becomes habitual. And social scientists would say it takes about 6 weeks to form a habit. Sometimes it takes longer to break a habit. Have you noticed that? If you want to create a habit in 2024, I would suggest that you take the month of January and February and you instill a practice in your life. And you begin to do that routinely, intentionally, over a period of at least 6 to 8 weeks to see that habit form and develop in your life. That's the old saying, 40 days of feeding the rabbit turns a duty into a habit. Takes about 6 weeks. Let me suggest to you four habits. You've got them in your outline there, and I'd like to recommend these to you heartily. For 27 years, I've suggested that these are and could be or should be basic to living the Christian life. Basic, the best practices. It'd be great if we could suggest to somebody visiting our church, these are the best practices of Bethel Gilead. Anybody who attends here knows that these four areas are essentials, basic ingredients for our congregational life. The first is non-negotiable. It's the most vital of the four. It is a daily walk with God. It's the practice of, maybe in private, taking time each day devotionally with the Lord. There is no substitute for that in Christianity. To me, if we talk about these four focuses, these holy habits, this number one weighs as much as the other three. It's that important. It's that basic. Develop a daily routine in your life. Practice your faith personally, just you and God. Take time out for prayer, for Bible study. How much time? Boy, I think 20 minutes to a half hour for starters is an easy, doable routine. I've, for 20-plus years, have handed these out. Every week I put one together, Spiritual Disciplines Guide. Discipleship is akin to discipline, and you have to, and I have to discipline ourselves in this area in taking time out. And you'll notice we set up a 5-day scheme every week, Monday through Friday. We give a direction as far as scripture reading, oftentimes related to what we're doing on Sunday mornings, and then specify several prayer requests for that day. Monday, you pray for yourself. Tuesday, we have you praying for your family. In fact, I suggest you write their names. Pray for family by name. Done that routine for years. Just write them down. I know who they are, but I want to get their names in writing in case something specific comes to my mind that the Lord's prompting me about one of my kids or even extended family. Wednesday, we pray for the church. I often wonder what would happen if everyone at Bethel Gilead took time every Wednesday to pray for those five items in our church. Do you know what happened? Good things. Because I believe those are the kinds of things that God wants us to pray for as a congregation. Thursday, we pray for our world. We read the scripture for the day. You'll notice if you have one of these in your bulletin that there's always a highlight. I want to suggest somebody write down what's something that struck me from this passage, key passage, something maybe that I can apply from God's word. But on Thursdays, we pray for the world. We pray for those around us, neighbors, people at work or in the community. We pray for other churches and our ministries in our community. We pray for America. And then on Friday, we pray for our missionaries. I've been there. These people are down in the hole. They're in a pit, and they're expecting you to hold the line. Don't let go of the rope. I'm going down. If you hold on, I'll go down. And your prayers are that significant for people like several of these whose lives are in jeopardy. They're working in some pretty dangerous places. In two cases, we're not allowed to announce or to publish the locations of those people because they could be put in jeopardy. They need your prayers. Every Friday is our day to pray. Spiritual disciplines. It's a simple way to begin that daily walk with God on a day-by-day basis. That's an excellent habit to develop early on. If you haven't, I want to commend you to 2024. Maybe a New Year's resolution to start out the day in that discipline, my devotional life, walking with God. Secondly, you'll notice another habit is weekly worship. Weekly worship, that to me is an excellent habit. For whatever reason, people go to church, even if it's just habitual, that's just what we do on Sundays. That's a starting point, just as soon have that. Come to church, unless you're out of town or sick. Make it a priority, a practice, a habit. If our daily walk with God is the most vital, as I suggested, Your weekly worship is probably the most visible aspect of your faith. It's the easiest way to portray your faith as a Christian is to show up at church on Sunday morning. And there we emphasize corporate worship and formal instruction. Notice number three there is a small group connection. That's the most strategic thing that we do or could do, is to get together in a smaller group with a smaller group of Christians and to talk through, to work through, to work out our faith. Spiritual nurture, encouragement, accountability. It's hard to get in a larger group like this. It's much more likely that you'll have that in a smaller group, a class, or in someone's living room on an evening Bible study format. And then finally, the fourth habit I'd suggest is gifted service. If our daily walk is the most vital, if weekly worship is the most visible, if our small group connections are the most strategic, I'm going to suggest that gifted service is the most practical. It's the practical outworking of what you have received. It's giving back to. It's really serving God, but ultimately it's serving others. Remember, Jesus said, whenever you've done this to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to who? You're doing it to me. You want to serve the Lord? Get busy serving people, the least of these. Boy, we ran into a lot of the least of these, didn't we, in Mexico a couple of weeks ago. And in so doing, we were serving Jesus Christ. Gifted service. And I would suggest a fifth there, as in terms of honorable mention, is winsome witness. I like that, winsome witness. A person who is developing these kinds of spiritual habits in their life is winsome. Invariably, people are going to be drawn to you. They're going to see there's something different about you, the way that you live, the attitudes that you assume, the way that you interact with people will draw them to ask you, what is it about you? It's winsome. It's an excellent way, ultimately, to present Christ in representing your faith. Well, we talked about being a spectator versus being an athlete, a participant. Let's go back to the athletic example. In fact, let me draw from basketball here, since it's basketball season. If you look at those four habits, here's how I would correlate those with playing basketball, if you're an athlete. The daily walk is your daily exercise. It's what you do on a regular basis. Basketball players oftentimes have basketball hoops in their backyard. Have you noticed that? You put up a hoop so you can practice your shots. And the kid that goes out and just practices on his own, just goes out every day and shoots layups or free throws or works on his three-pointers or dribbling exercises, has got a head up, he's got a leg up, he's got an advantage on the guy who doesn't, because he regularly, routinely practices his sport. Weekly worship, I'm gonna equate with practice, with formal practice. It's going to and joining up with the team and team activities. It's huge as far as playing sports. A small group connection, you know, there are all kinds of opportunities in the sporting world to go to conferences, to go to camps, to get specialized time with people who can help you with aspects of the sport. Well, we see that in wrestling, don't we, Perry, all the time. It's an extra mile, again, making the effort as an athlete to get more training, specialized training apart from playing on the team or what you do in the backyard. But number four, gifted service. I love the guys that not only learn in their sport, but then turn around and teach others, who pick up with the neighborhood kids and get them over there and teach them how to dribble and how to shoot. Or maybe volunteer to help out the fifth and sixth grade team, you know, or summer league or something. Those guys that are those cool varsity guys from high school that are down there working with the junior high or younger kids. They're serving with their gift. They're making someone else's game better. And I'm going to suggest invariably they're improving their own game. I think that's the equation. To practice the faith, there are some excellent things, disciplines, habits that you and I can develop, inculcate into our lives And as a result, Jesus says, we will be wise and not foolish in the face of storms, in whatever form they come. Whoever hears these words and puts them into practice, Jesus is like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. Hey, summarizing here in terms of application, let me ask you, do you practice what you preach? Well, I have to ask myself that, don't I? I have to start with me, I think. If I don't, I hear it from my wife or my kids, because they know me better than you do. Practicing your faith, what you preach. Does your lifestyle reflect Jesus' life principles? They're so abundant. There's so many ways that we can live out his word as he's given it to us here. Living principles, life applications. Is it obvious in your life? And then number three, and finally, which of the four focuses, these holy habits, could possibly be missing from your life, your life experience this past year? Look at the four there. All four intact, missing one or two, you're running about average. Could this year, could 2024 be the year that maybe you step it up a notch and say, Lord, with your help, I want to aspire to live out my faith in practical ways. I want to practice the truths of Jesus Christ and reap the benefits, the blessings, really, the promises that he's given us for those who do. Where you're seated this morning, why don't you pray with me? Let's ask God for the grace to do just that. And I'd like to encourage you, if not challenge you, in retrospect, maybe to pull this outline in the next week and revisit those four areas and think through, how can I further develop my Christian faith and be as Jesus wants it, a doer of the word and not just a hearer? Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this time as a church family. Pray that you would help us to do exactly as you've told us to practice what we believe, what we've learned, what we're learning, to put it to work in our lives. And as it's true, practice may not make perfect, but it can make permanent new habit patterns, characteristics or character qualities that more closely approximate Jesus Christ. I pray that for myself, and I ask you for each of us, by your grace and with your help, Lord, that could be so. And as we do, we ask this, as always, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, Design for Life. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.